heart's super heavy this morning. Super heavy. God's been wrecking me with a truth that I've needed to hear for a long time. I was 2 weeks ago, my truck had a ball bearing that was busted in it, and I took it into the shop close to our house, and they had a courtesy shuttle when you drop your car off to take you back home and, you know, take care of you. They're super nice people. Well, I get in this courtesy shuttle, and this guy's named Steve. Man, this dude was on fire for Jesus. He was so filled with the Spirit. Steve gets in there to drive me home, and he just starts talking to me about God and what he sees going on. And the saddest thing that I've ever heard came out of his mouth. This dude's on fire for Jesus, and he must have seen that I was a Christian or something. But he says, you know what, Josh, I just moved here to Denver 6 months ago or so to be closer to my grandkids. He was probably about 60, 65 years old. And he's like, my heart is so sad. My heart is so sad because everybody here is fine. Everybody here is fine. They're completely fine. They don't need anything. And when you have a Christian culture, when you have Christians that are in that place where they can define their life as fine, it's the most dangerous place in the world to be, especially in your walk with the Lord. And my heart was cringed, and it wasn't. It was the next day that, or the day just before that, that Jeff asked me to speak this morning, and my heart was burning. God, why is the Christian culture here just fine? Why don't we long for you, and why aren't we desperate for you? Why aren't you spreading the Red Sea in Denver and changing these kids' lives who are committing suicide in Douglas County? And he gave me a word, and he gave me a really, really hard and a strong word that I need to read to you this morning. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, now hold on, pause. Jesus is going to write this letter to this church in Laodicea, but I want you to hear it for you. I want you to put your name in there. To the Church of Harvest, to Josh Kagan. I'm opening this letter from Jesus right now because we need to hear this. It is so personal, and it's so real, and his love is so, so compelling. So put your name in there. To the Christians at Harvest, to the Christians in Denver, to Josh, I write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. So this is from Jesus, verse 15. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say I am rich and I have prospered and I don't need anything, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. What a heavy letter to receive from Jesus. The one who loves me, who has so much grace, who has so much love, he came to earth and he died for me and he gave his life up for me, but then he writes me this letter and he writes this church specifically in Laodicea and says, look, I wish you were either cold or hot, but you're not. You're lukewarm. And because of that, I want to spit you out of my mouth. Now, a lot of preachers, and maybe many of you have heard this passage before, and you're like, man, that hotness refers to our spiritual fervor, and I need to be hot for Jesus, or I need to be cold. I need to be totally against Jesus and, like, not even saved. That's not what Jesus is saying here. You need to look at this church in Laodicea and need to understand that in Laodicea, just to the north of them, there was this city, if I can pronounce the name right, Hierapolis, just to the north, that had these hot springs that were used for medical purposes, and they had this natural hot springs that were used for medical purposes and used to bring healing to people. All the reasons why you can think we use hot water. A billion different purposes why you use hot water. But then just to the east of Laodicea, there was this town, or this city of Colossae, That they were known for their fresh, cool springs and the fresh water that you could get there. And Jesus speaks to these people and tells this church, look, I know where you're located and you're gonna hear this from me in a spiritual sense, but for years you guys have been piping in water into your city, hot water from the city to the north, Hierapolis. You've been piping in this water. And then from Colossae, the city to the east, you've been piping in the water because you don't have any natural water sources of your own. And Colossae's is so cold and refreshing and good. And Hierapolis is so hot and it can be used for so many medical purposes. But when it gets to you, you know what it's like. By the time it gets through all those water channels and by the time it gets to your city, it's lukewarm and it's gross and it's disgusting and it goes through the pipes or goes through the cement, whatever they built to pipe in the water into the city. And by the time it gets to you, it's disgusting and it's completely worthless and nobody wants it. And so you're traveling to get this fresh water and this good water. And by the time it gets to you, because when you pipe this stuff in, it's disgusting, it's completely worthless. If you were hot, he's saying spiritually, if you were hot, if you brought healing to people like I want you to, because you're my church and my bride, filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world, man, that would be awesome if you were hot water. That's awesome. If you were cold, I have purpose for that too. Then you're refreshing. You're a refreshment to the world who needs hope. They need hope. They're lost and they're hurting. Man, if you were hot or cold, I'd have a purpose for you. You could be used for the gospel. You could be used for the kingdom, but you're not. Either of those, you're lukewarm, and because you're lukewarm, you're disgusting, and I have zero purpose for you but to spit you out. You're completely worthless. You're completely worthless. And it hurts my heart because I've given you everything you need. Everything you need, and I've given you all of my love to be on fire for me and to change the world through the name of Jesus Christ. But here you are. You're rich. You have what you need. You're in a climate-controlled lifestyle. Everything's okay. And you're fine being fine. Does Jesus need to say that to you this morning? As he's needed to say it to me. I don't know we understand Jesus' words as much here in Luke 14:34. Listen to this. This is Jesus saying, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away, and he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus, again, just like he repeats in Revelation, he's telling his church and his believers, look, you're the salt. You're supposed to be a flavor to the world around you so that they experience my glory and they meet my holiness and they're radically changed and they're healed. I've given you the power to be that. You are my bride. Jesus even said to us, you're gonna go and do greater things than I've even done because I'm leaving you with the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. But then we find Jesus here in Luke 14 saying, we've heard in Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. But he says, if salt's lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use, either for the soil or for the manure pile. Not only if you as salt have lost your flavor and you've lost your spirit's fire and you have not been walking with the Lord and you have, not only are you worthless, but you're not even good for the soil or the manure pile. You make dirt and crap worse. You make it worse. I can use soil because I can use it to nourish things and provide the vitamins and minerals to grow things. I can use manure because it's a fertilizer too. I can use these things, but you, even added to that, you make it worthless. Do you hear Jesus' words? He's not here to kiss us and say, good job, you come to church. Good job, you do nice things. Good job, you serve once a month. He says, look, if you're not hot or cold, you're completely worthless. You're not even good for the manure or for the dirt. Do you hear my heart? Because I've saved you for more than that. I came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I came to seek and save those who are lost. I came to bear witness to the truth. I came to give you my Holy Spirit and to be a witness of who God is so that you could see me and that you could walk like me and be like me and experience the life and the fullness of life that I have for you so that you could touch and change the world. I've given that to you. But because you've lost your passion for me, because you've lost your walk with me, because you're not filled with the Spirit but with the lust of your flesh, and you're more consumed with your own desires, you're more consumed with living in the world and living for your own pleasures and what you can get out of this earth, you've lost total perspective and sight, and now you've become completely worthless. And my heart grieves. Mark chapter 8, the last verse in Mark chapter 8, he literally says, I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed. My heart is so heavy this morning, Christians. When you look across the temperature of American Christianity and when you look across the temperature of Harvest Bible Chapel, what is the temperature? I mean, the Lord wants us to be spiritual medicine, to go around, to pray for people, to see them healed, to see them set free from their depressions, from their hurt, from their pains as we give them the name of Jesus Christ, because only in his name is there power to do anything of any spiritual value. And we can be hot like that, or he asks us to be cold. And he says, go and be my light and my salt and bring refreshment to people. Let my Spirit through you bring refreshment as you walk in the Spirit and not in the lust of your flesh, and encourage them and lift them up and pray for them and bring them to Jesus. Share the gospel, be my witness. He's condemning this city for their lack of works and their lack of witness. He says, you're so worthless. You are so worthless. But he doesn't leave us there. This is our awesome God. He never leaves us there. Listen to this. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and shame, and of the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Anytime Jesus comes to you and says, hey, I've got counsel for you, it's probably a good thing to listen. We don't always listen to everybody's counsel, but Jesus says, hey, there's hope. There's hope, Christian. I can still use you. I want you to know the fullness of my power. I want you to be filled with the fullness of who I am, because that's what I've created you for. So buy from me gold and you will be rich. Buy from me gold. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, it says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved only through fire. God's like, look, Philippians chapter 2, your faith without works is completely dead. It has no value whatsoever. So buy gold from me, live your life for me, and work for me with a heart of compassion and grace to really, really love people, compelled by my Spirit. Because those works are gold, and when they pass through the fire in the end, when we stand before God, you will be rewarded. And I will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But if all of your works, there's a lot of people. Guys, you know your works. You serve. You may even do some compassion ministry or something. Are those fueled by the Spirit of Jesus Christ for a love for people? Or because you're just doing stuff? I had a person walk in here not too long ago, came to our church twice. I think we have the best greeting team in all the world. And people really love people. But for some reason, that person didn't feel it any. And I talked to him a couple weeks later and I said, hey man, how was your experience at Harvest? And he's like, man, it was good, but nobody really cared about me. It's like, what do you mean? We care about you, man. Not, you know, I told the same person, two people, my name like 1,000 times. And ultimately, if you choose not to remember somebody's name, you really don't care. If you choose not to pursue them, like, I understand, they're busy, I understand. When you're serving, do you have a love for people and souls? Because Jesus Christ wants to change their heart and their mind. 1 Corinthians 13, you've heard it, the passage on love. You can do all these great things for God. I prophesied in your name, Jesus. I healed people for you, Jesus. I gave and gave and gave, Jesus. And he says, if you didn't do it with love, if you didn't do it with a motive compelled by my spirit for people to be saved, it's worthless. It's completely worthless. A lot of us Christians live on this grading scale. Man, I loved pretty well this week. Man, I'd give myself about a B minus or maybe a C. I kind of failed when loving that person or maybe I gave this money, but you know, there was no heart behind it and there was no passion, compassion behind it and there was no Jesus purpose behind it, but I gave, you know, so I'll give myself a B minus. Jesus says, no, there's no grading scale. You're a zero. You're a zero if you don't do it with love. If your compassion and the fuel of Jesus Christ and walking in the Spirit doesn't control you and compel you to love people genuinely and really care about their souls, for what does it profit a man, Mark chapter 8, if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What's more valuable than a soul? The Lord's asking his church this morning. The Lord's asking his church this morning to buy gold from him. Come to me, because you cannot fuel your own fire. You cannot change the world by yourself. You can't just get up enough gumption to be on fire for Jesus and to tell the world about him and to change the world. You can't. You need to experience my holiness. You need to experience my truth. You need to be transformed in the renewing of your mind to believe what I say is true so that you can go out there and love people with my love, because if you're not reflecting my love, you're reflecting your love, and that's worthless. It's not deep enough. It's not powerful enough. The power is in the Spirit. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, God says. So we walk in the Spirit. Buy gold for me, he says. And then second of all, he says, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. White garments, righteousness and holiness. Consume yourself with this, but you've got to get it from me. You've got to come to me. Where's our thirst for holiness, church? For righteousness? God says, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I will do great and mighty things that you don't even know of. I can do that, but you've got to seek first my kingdom instead of seeking first your baseball team. Instead of seeking first your, man, I know people who seek first their Bible. I had a teacher, an art teacher in school, who he was not saved and he read the Bible 3 times a year. He's not even a Christian. He would proclaim to not be a Christian, but he loved it. It was a good book. I mean, I've met people who worship the Bible and give time to the Bible and they miss the creator and they miss the author. And I don't know where you're at. Where's your pursuit of holiness and righteousness? We have so many people and so many Christians that look so much like the world today. The world can't tell us apart. God, it's not that big a deal. I'll sleep in with my girlfriend a little bit here and there. You know, I'm sorry. No, it grieves my heart. And you're quenching the Spirit, so my spirit can't fuel you to work anymore because you've built a sin block between me and you. Because you're walking in the sin and you're giving into the lust of your flesh instead of walking in the Spirit and denying myself and taking up my cross and following Jesus. God, it's not that big a deal. You know, it's just porn. It's just a little bit. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. I died so you could be set free from that. You don't understand the consequences. You know, every single decision we make is because of something we believe is compelled by what we believe. Every decision we make, every decision you make today is compelled by what you believe. Whether you choose to leave this church and not do anything is compelled by who you believe in, who you place your trust in, and who you find your identity in, what you believe. Every time you choose to sin is because you're choosing to believe a lie. You say, I've got a porn addiction, I can't keep from it. Well, let me help you keep from it. Get ready to pop open your laptop and click on that picture and commit adultery, as Jesus says, as he looks on it. Get ready to, but then let me come in your room, wherever you're at, and holding your wife's hair by the head and ripping her hair back in a knife to her throat, or to your daughter, your baby girl, and a knife to her throat, and I say, look, you look at that picture, and I'm gonna slice her throat, and she's dead. In that moment, you will be compelled to shut that laptop. You will not look at it. Why? Because what you believed compelled your actions. What you believed that the consequences of your sin were now greater than the pleasures that it was gonna give you. Well, Jesus wants to show you that because he tells you that 1,000 times in his word. He's like, let my truth renew your mind. Because it is. Every time you sin, it doesn't go without effect. There's no such thing. It affects everybody around you. It affects everybody around you, and it'll tear up your life, and it'll tear up your marriage. Every sin, guys, every sin, covetousness, greed, gluttony. We pass off these sins as American Christians like, man, this is just my little struggle. God's like, no, you don't understand. Sin keeps you from me. Sin keeps you from being filled with the Holy Spirit because you're giving into the lust of your flesh. My flesh would rather have this for me. My flesh actually means more than you, Lord Jesus. What my pleasures and what I live for actually means more than you, Jesus. I'm all about my kingdom and not yours, Lord. That's what our lives preach. You can say whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter. Your feet preach the truth to what you believe. Your actions speak 1,000 times louder than our words. So he says, grab a white cloak and clothe yourself. Strive for my holiness. Strive for my righteousness. You've got to get it from me. And then last of all, he says, and a salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. We need a spiritual illumination. We need God to give us his perspective on loving people, on being on fire for him, because our perspective right now, typically from what I see in America, is so skewed. Man, I'm loving people just by doing this or that, or I'm loving people, or I'm making a difference in the world just because, you know, I am a Christian and I try to do what's right. God's gotta change our perspective. He's gotta change our view that every single person that you encounter and every single person that you see through the day has a story and might be hurting and might need Jesus or might have Jesus and need to be encouraged and lifted up. Lord, change my perspective and change my view. Lord, help me to see. I find it radical and pretty ironic that throughout the Bible, a lot of people brought healing. You know, God gave power to the apostles. God gave power to these prophets to heal. People could, they made the lame to walk again. They made literally disciples, made the dead to rise again. All the things that Jesus did, but the one thing that only Jesus did that no other person did in the Bible was cause the blind to see. Was cause the blind to see. And I think there's a powerful message in that. That only Jesus can open our eyes to the truth. And you've got to come to him to see the truth. Because only he can open your eyes. He's like, get this salve from me so that you'll be able to see again. I love the words of the Lord in verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. He says, those I love, guys, I love you. I love you so much to tell you the truth that you're wasting your life and you're wasting the soul that I gave you. Is it worth it? Is it worth it if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul and you lose other souls because you're not fulfilling the purpose I gave to you and the power I gave to you through the Spirit? Is it worth it? Is your football team worth it? Are your kids worth it? Is your family worth it? Because if you follow me, man, it's hard. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You gotta give up your comfort sometimes. You've gotta give up your, it might cost you everything, but I promise great reward and great victory. Oh man, the rewards greatly outshine the hardship in this life. So let me give you a new perspective. And he says, I love you. Those I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent, turn. Zealously turn, God, I need you. I need you to change me because I need you to change the world and I can't do it on my own. And my eyes are so fixed on me, they're not fixed on you. I'm more concerned about how many likes I get on Facebook than how many likes I get from you when you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're killing it for the kingdom. I'm more concerned about what people think about me on my Instagram than what you think about me and tell me I am, Lord Jesus, because if my identity was you and you instead of what people thought about me, I could be on fire for you. I could tell everybody about you because I wouldn't care what people think about me because I don't live for them, I live for you. And I don't even care what happens to me because I don't live for them, I live for you. I just don't care. It's all about you, God. It's all about your glory. It's all about my identity in you. And you say that I am created so beautifully in your image to serve a purpose for the kingdom, to do great and mighty things that I don't even know of. Lord Jesus, change my heart. Let my identity be found in you. I'm so concerned about what everybody else thinks about me, and I cower in this fight against evil. Guys, do you know we're in a fight? We're in a battle. We're in a battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against Satan and his powers and the principalities and powers and darkness of this earth. It's just truth. And you've got to be awakened to that. Because if you are in a real battle, if you are fighting for the United States of America, and you are across the seas right now fighting against evil or fighting whatever war we are fighting, and you lived and you fought the same way that you live your Christian life right now, many of us would be court-martialed, if not even imprisoned, or put to death for our cowardice. It wasn't long ago that men were put to death for their cowardice, for not standing up for their country and fighting and giving their life for everything they believed in. But we as Christians think, man, the Christian life, it's just as long as I got a cool church and I serve once in a while, and man, God wants to do awesome things through you. God wants to transform you. I was at Walmart the other day, and God just, his spirit is taking over me, and I want you to see God's glory. I was at Walmart and I'm checking out, and this lady standing across, she's checking out, and I'm like, how are you doing today? Oh, you know, I'm doing all right, but my hand's hurting. Can I pray for you? I reach across the counter, I grab her hand and just pray right there in the store. What's keeping us from just loving people? What's keeping us from just simply being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and the bride who's not ashamed of Jesus Christ? Praying in the spirit, God, lead me to somebody to touch today, to love today, to change, but you've got to indwell me, Lord, because in my own strength, nothing's going to happen. In my own words, nothing's going to happen, but your spirit can change everything. Amen. I was praying a few weeks ago. I pray all the time, but a few weeks ago, this really cool thing happened. I was praying. I was like, Lord, give me an opportunity to love somebody well today. And I try to do that every day as I just walk throughout praying in the spirit and walking in the spirit. Lord, compel me and control me because I don't want to give into my own pleasures today. I just want to live for you, so totally sold out, because that's the only thing that matters. And I walk into Home Depot and I'm praying and the Lord doesn't lead me to touch it, to pray for anybody or to tell them about Jesus. Like, I just kind of felt kind of defeated. I walked out of Home Depot. I was like, man, Lord, I was just praying. I wanted you to just change somebody to encourage my heart. Maybe you needed to speak to me. And I walk out of there and I get to my truck and I open the door and this white van pulls up and the guy pops his head out. Yo, man, I got some cool stuff in the back of my trunk right now. You want to check it out? I got some awesome stuff. Man, this crazy thing happened. Goes on to tell me this huge old lie, how he got all this cool electronic equipment and all brand new stuff. And right then, you know, I the spirit's sensitive towards evil and towards wrong. I'm like, no thanks, man. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm sorry, dude. You know, have a good day. God bless. But then he drives off and I'm like, oh, the spirit. Jesus is like, I gave you somebody and you blew it. I gave you somebody to love, to pour into, to say, I gave you the opportunity, but you were a coward and you weren't walking in the spirit. And so I get in my truck. I'm like, all right, Lord, you told me. So I'm going to hunt this guy down. I can't find him. He already drove off. And I'm driving all around the parking lot. And I'm like, God, you told me to like pray for this guy or tell him about you or something, Lord. And so I'm driving everywhere. After about 5-10 minutes, I give up. I'm like, God, I can't find this person anywhere. And you know my heart. I want to tell him about you. And I want to love him. And I want to pray for him because I want to change the world with the gospel. And only you can do it. So, Lord, it's no longer on my shoulders. If I don't see the dude, it's your fault. It's your fault. You're lost. I tried. I'm fighting hard. You know, and I'm having this conversation with the Lord. And then right then, as I'm pulling out of the parking lot, ready to head home on the main street, and the spirit compels me, like, just turn right now. Turn right now. And I'm just like, what? And I just turn right into this gas station. He's sitting right there in his van. And he's sitting there. I'm like, okay. No, I can't back down. Now the fight's on. I pull in the parking lot and I go up to this guy. The guy sitting in the passenger seat, there was two of them, but the guy sitting in the passenger seat, he was just kind of a ride along helping the other guy. And I go up to him and I'm just, man, Jesus, man, he loves you, dude. He loves you so much. And I don't know if you know what you're doing or what's going on, but he told me to come over here and pray for you. And I don't know what he wants to do, but you mind if I pray for you? I reached my hand in his van. I just prayed for the guy. I just prayed the Lord would save him or the Lord would compel him to change, whatever. I don't even remember what I prayed. I just prayed. And the guy's like, oh, whatever, dude, cool, thanks. Like, weird. And then I just started talking to him like, man, do you know what's going on here? Are you trying to cheat people or he's like, what? What are you talking about? Make a long story short, he was just a ride along. The dude in the driver's seat had picked up the day before and said, hey man, you wanna make some money? Come with me. I've got a really cool business opportunity. And the dude was totally ignorant. He didn't even know. And I'm telling him, man, 2 years ago, I got scammed by the same exact scam, the same exact electrical stuff. And I caved to it a couple years ago. I remember when I was in high school, I was like, oh, this is cool. And I bought stuff, you know, it's cheap. And I told him, man, it's all a scam, man, and you're lying to people. What do you feel about that, man? Because, man, God loves you, dude. God loves you, and he wants to use you. And he's like, what? Dude, I had no clue. I just thought I had a job. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, Jesus totally sent you to tell me that. Man, he's like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what God's gonna tell you to do or how God's gonna use you, man, but I'm just praying for you and know I'm praying for you. And I gave him my card and I get back in my truck, and as I'm leaving, he's outside of his van now and he's sitting there like this and he's just like looking up. I don't know what happened to the guy. God wants to use you. Do you wanna be used? Amen. Are you in the fight for the fight for the name of Jesus Christ? If not, why are you here? Why do we come here every Sunday? Why do you serve once a week? Why do you do what you do? God's got so much for you than just hanging out, being a Christian, an American Christian. Some of you, I'm not preaching to you, some of you are so on fire, you stir my spirit, and I long to be like you. Some of you guys got prayer lives, and you got passion for Jesus that's contagious, and it's awesome. I'm not preaching to you. God's words, he's gonna speak to you too, but man, what are we doing? We're in a fight. We're in a fight. You heard about the suicides. This young man in our youth group 2 weeks ago walked 6.5 miles home from school just to write his parents a letter and shoot himself. We sit here and we groan and mourn because of the loss of somebody, but Satan's laughing. Yes, another one to believe lies. Yes, the kingdom's going down and Christians aren't doing nothing about it. Yes, do we understand the war that we're in? There are people out there who are hurting. There are people in here who are hurting, who are desperate for Jesus Christ, who are desperate for the only power in the name that can save. You just sang it, do you believe it? They're desperate, and what are we doing? Don't waste what God's given you, your talents, your abilities, your family, your business, your calling. Don't waste your pain. God's given you suffering so you can love on people through hardship and reflect his glory. James chapter 5, 1 Peter, James chapter 1, I mean. Man, these trials I've given you so that you can grow in your faith and you can shout the glory to me and people can be saved and souls can be saved and people can be transformed. Don't waste your hurt. I've given that to you as a gift. So many people's walls are down. As I was walking around in that funeral at the open casket, all these high schoolers there weeping, non-Christians. And the walls are down when the reality of death, when the reality of heaven and hell is right in front of their face, the walls are down. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste it. I've given you one life. That's all you get. But it's such a gift and a treasure. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit through you that I'm gonna use to change the world. After he gets done telling us he loves us, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is not for salvation. We always preach this, oh, the Lord's knocking at your door, get saved. Yes, he is. The Lord wants every single one of you to know him, to be your Lord, and to save you from the lies that Satan has set up in this world. Yes, if you're not a Christian here, I pray you will understand Jesus' love and grace for you. But this is for the Christian. He just wrote this letter to the church. He's like, I'm standing here knocking and you're not doing anything about it. I want to come in and dine with you. I want you to worship me and know the fullness of me, because nothing else that I just said happens unless you know me. Unless you are compelled by my holiness and righteousness to hate evil and to love souls. So let me come in and dine with you. Let me ask you, Christian, you having good suppers with Jesus? How's your time with the Lord? Because he's sitting there knocking, saying, look, you're trying to do this on your own. Look, you're trying to be the good Christian. Look, you're trying to let me in so you can just be a reflection of me and let me get all over you and my Holy Spirit all over you and in you and fill you so full that you are nothing but just Holy Spirit power coming out so that I can touch people and change the world. Let me in and let me dine with you. The true friends we dine with, we invite over for dinner and we hang with and we want to get to know them more intimately. How much time do you spend on your knees in prayer? How fervently do you worship? How much time do you spend in his word asking, Holy Spirit, speak to me? I don't know what this is saying right here, but I know you have a word for me, because your word never returns void and it always wants to compel me and it's always powerful. So speak to me, Lord, fill me. Guys, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I get to just come here and just hang out and just prepare a sermon or prepare games for the kids. But I gotta get up 5 a.m. and come in and spend time with the King before my day gets started, or else nothing happens. Not a soul is changed. Because he wants to fill you and move you. He wants to use you. I've got to sit in my office for 2 hours before the day starts and turn off the lights and turn on my little lamp, and I just cry out to God, Lord, change me. Lord, humble me. Lord, break me. Give me a word today. I was doing that just a couple weeks ago, not long ago, and I was praying in my office, and the Lord just laid on my heart, like, you're going to pray. I'm going to give you a blind person to pray for before. It was the weirdest thing. It was so random, but I'm just spending time with the Lord because I want to hear from him. And I was reading about Elijah, and he's just touching people and changing the world. And the Lord told me that. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. So I forgot about it the rest of the day. And actually back then when I was praying, I was like, Lord, if you want me to pray and meet some blind person because you're going to speak to me through them, you're going to have to make it happen sometime in my day. I'm not leaving the office except for to go to the skating rink with one of my students to hang out with him. Like, you are literally gonna have to make a blind person show up at the least likely place in the whole world that a blind person would ever be, at a skating rink. I literally said that. I'm praying. I'm like, God, this is kind of weird, man. You're just telling me, oh, God, I love you, though. I just want to be submissive to your spirit. I forget about it the rest of the day, and I go to pick up that student, head to the skate rink. As we are pulling in, there is a blind person walking across the street. And I tell my student, I'm like, man, God told me I gotta talk to this person and love him earlier this morning. He's like, what? I'm like, no, for reals. It was the weirdest thing. And I got out and I went to this girl and I just prayed with her and loved on her. And she actually touched my heart and said, you know what? Well, people have prayed healing for me. That's not what God wants to do. God's using me. She was already a Christian. God's using me to love the blind people of the world and show them Jesus and open their eyes. And I was like, oh, that's what I needed to hear today. And I just prayed with her. And she's like, you know what? It's kind of God's humor, because not only did God align our paths at the skating rink, she's like, but where you pulled into this parking lot across from the skating rink to hunt me down, she's like, this is the only blind complex in all of Denver. There's over hundreds of blind people in this apartment complex. That's why there's no cars here. I was like, no way. And God just reckoned me. Guys, God's Holy Spirit wants to use you. He wants to fuel you. Are you cold? Are you hot? God can use that. Are you refreshment to people? Are you a healing to people in the spirit? Or do you walk in the lust of your flesh and you're completely worthless? Don't waste what God's given you. In closing, here's the only way we walk in the Spirit. I've got 3 verses for you. If I can leave you with one thing, Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek in his temple. Even the psalmist, this is the only thing. I've got to be close to the Lord. I've got to know him and know his holiness. This is the one thing I crave. To dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze on his beauty. Luke 10:41, but the Lord answered him, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about so many things, but the one thing is necessary, Jesus says. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen to sit at my feet and just bask in my glory while you're working and working and working. She's chosen the right thing. Philippians 3:7, Paul says, but whatever gain I had, I count for loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of everything and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. That's all I want. Because if you know him, you can't help but be changed by him. And when you are changed by him, you can't help but change others. It's natural. It's not, it's supernatural. It's Jesus. Jesus ends Revelation 3 saying, to the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Find your identity and your truth in Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You believe in anything else, you believe any of the lies, you put your identity in what people think about you or in your family and what people think about your family, all those idols will crumble and they will destroy, and your life will be wasted, worthless. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Your love that compels us to be on fire for you, Lord. Your love that compels us to give a life of worship, Romans 12:1-2, to you, Father, because you're worthy of it all. You gave your life for us. How could we do any less? Lord, I pray for every Christian in this room. The ones that are on fire, Lord, keep their fire for you. Keep them close to you, Lord, because you are the fire, and it's only as we're close to you that we can catch on fire too. Lord, and those who are not, those who think that they're doing life awesome by themselves, and those that think everything is fine and everything's okay and the world's okay and I'm doing all right and it's all about me, Lord, save them, Jesus. Rescue the coward and give them strength and boldness in your Spirit to walk in the fullness of who you made them to be. And Lord, to those who are not saved here in this room, Lord, show them the truth of your love, that you have made them for so much more than just a nothingness of a life lived for ourselves. And show them the glory of the greatness of your riches in heaven, that they may be compelled to make you their Savior and Lord and walk in the fullness of life that you give us, Lord. We pray this in your awesome name, Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.